Hi, everyone. Welcome to our daily devotionals. Today, we'll be continuing on in the book of Philippians, and our passage today comes from Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to 30. Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to 30. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engage in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Amen. Amen. So I think it's important for us to remember that Paul is writing from house arrest in Rome. And so that means that Paul wasn't physically present with the Philippian church. And this is so key, because what Paul is essentially doing here is echoing what Jesus said to his disciples regarding his ascension. The point of this mini passage in verses 27 to 30 is to talk about how to live in a waiting period while Paul or Jesus is physically away. Jesus had promised to us, his followers, believers in Christ, that there would be a day when he'll return. And Paul, in a kind of similar way, he is confident that he is going to be delivered out of prison and will be able to be with the Philippians once again, face to face, and he'll be able to minister to them for the progress and the joy of their faith. And so Paul is saying, until I return, you know, whether I'm there in person or I'm absent, live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's what it says in verse 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. And he's saying, let that be the case, whether I'm there with you or I'm absent. Let it be true both in your public life as well as your private life. Live in such a way that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today I want to invite us to think about what it looks like for us to live a life worthy of the gospel. According to our passage, I think there are three ways that we can live a life worthy of the gospel. There's unity, boldness, and suffering. And we'll talk about each of these three things. First, Paul says that we can live a life worthy of the gospel by standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. In short, live in unity for the gospel. There's so much division and disunity and tension, even within the body of Christ. And it all happens for seemingly just very small things. You know, differences in personality, differences in interests, differences in how we engage with one another, differences in perhaps the way we want to go about church. And, you know, we talk about perhaps even, you know, doctrinal and theological differences. And obviously there are certain things that are really foundational that does unite us. But in that foundational, in those foundational things, those essential things, what would it look like for us to remain united as we advance the gospel together? And that's the first thing that Paul invites us to do. Live a life worthy of the gospel by being united for the gospel, for the advancement of the gospel. Secondly, he says, a life worthy of the gospel looks like not being frightened in anything by your opponents. In other words, have boldness in the face of persecution. You see, the Philippian church is a persecuted church. In other books, opponents can mean Judaizers or false religious teachers, but most likely opponents in Philippians is talking about physical and social persecution from the world because of their faith. For example, a landlord wouldn't sell a house to a Christian. A merchant or farmer would refuse to sell goods and food to you if he knew you were a Christian. It was harder to get a job if you were a Christian. And on top of that, arrests, torture, imprisonments, and execution of Christians were not uncommon in those days. And so Paul is saying that these acts against the faith are a sign of the opponent's future destruction, as well as confirmation of the believer's salvation from God. And so he says, don't be frightened. Don't be frightened. Even in the midst of this social and physical persecution, don't be frightened. This is a sign of your opponent's destruction, as well as confirmation of your salvation. And I love what Paul says in verse 30. He's essentially saying, I've gone through these persecutions myself, and I'm still going through these persecutions. Yet I know that God is my salvation. I love that. Even as he's in prison, as he's writing this, he's able to declare that the Lord is his salvation. And because of that, he can have boldness in the face of persecution. So we talked about unity for the gospel, boldness in the face of persecution. But a third thing that he talks about is that a life worthy of the gospel looks like embracing suffering for the sake of Christ. Verse 29 reads, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." What does this mean for us? Well, one clear truth is that the Christian life involves suffering. Suffering not only includes physical persecution, which we, to be honest, don't really see that much in the U.S., but also social persecution, which we are starting to see more of, and also spiritual. And this is a little bit tricky, but it's always there because the enemy is like a prowling lion, always wanting to bring us down. There are aspects of physical, social, and spiritual persecution in the faith. But there's encouragement for us to know that as we share in Christ's suffering, there's also the Spirit of glory, the same Spirit of glory that had rested upon Christ also rests upon us as we endure suffering. Considering all of these things, what would it look like for us to live in Boston today, to live in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ? What are some challenges of living in this way? What would it look like for us to live in unity for the gospel as one, with boldness in the midst of our opponents, as we rejoice in suffering for the sake of Christ? How can we live this way while we are waiting for Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, and as we wait upon the return of your Son Jesus, Lord, we want to wait in such a way that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. Father, teach us, Lord, what it looks like to remain united for the gospel with boldness in the face of persecution, as we rejoice in the suffering that we are called to endure for the sake of Christ. Lord, forgive us for the ways that we have lived our own lives for our own sake. But Lord, we want to turn to you. We want to fix our eyes upon you, Jesus, for the joy that is set before us, the joy of being in perfect fellowship and communion with you. And Lord, we long for the day that Jesus returns. Lord, just as Paul prayed, Paul stated in our earlier passage, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." God, continue to make that, Lord, the state of our own heart and our own mind. Lord, that we would live for the glory of Christ. And Lord, that we would know that to die is to gain. Lord, that we would have this perfect, eternal fellowship face to face with our Savior. So Lord, Lead us, God. Lead us in your Holy Spirit to live in such a way that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Thanks for joining us for our daily devotionals, and I hope you have a blessed day as we continue to strive to live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ.